I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy day in Scottish football. Rangers could be on the brink of a takeover involving a consortium linked to the San Francisco 49ers and Leeds United. It is day two of the Celtic reaction, a proud performance in Munich but falling short of progression in the Champions League. And we're only a couple of days away from a huge weekend across the country. We'll see Michael Vimmer take charge of Motherwell for the first time. And what about Partick Thistle's new interim managerial duo? Gordon DL's been overlooked for the role. We're going to try and get him in the Kingsley suit, but Mark Wilson,
he wouldn't fit in that.
Mark Wilson, fresh off the training ground today, joins us. Good
yes,
to see
I'm,
you.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, as a helper out. I think that's my official term just now. But I initially thought I'd be coming in here to talk about Celtic and Munich and what an outstanding performance and the fallout from that. But you're right, the headline grabber is really Rangers just now and the potential takeover from the 49ers group, which, you know, may take a bit of time to get over the line. But if you're a Rangers fan just now, it is good news, you've got to say. There may be some a bit sceptical, but I think it's a positive step for all those Rangers fans. Lots of details to probably come out about that, but a big story nevertheless.
I think the good thing is, Gordon, when I saw this, well, it broke a bit where we were on the show last night and a lot of it's become a lot clearer. I was instantly relaxed because I thought, look, any duo out there knows everything there is to know about dual interest, the regulations of the Scottish FA and UEFA, you know, consortia, controlling stakes, football finance. You two,
phone in on a Monday.
You two are the right pair for the job, so we should be well equipped between.
Well, we're certainly well equipped. I've been on the phone all afternoon to our correspondent Roger Hanna, who knows
your homework.
Oh yes, he knows it very well. I wondered how Roger bought all the big thumbs. You know what I mean? He'll be selling them for about 10 quid a go the minute the 49ers hit the town. But no, as Mark said, I think if you're a Rangers fan and you're looking at where Celtic are going, Champions League, the money, everything about them, how they're just progressing and progressing. You know, the way they handle the transfer market as well, they're buying and selling. They've got their business absolutely brilliant. You've got to say that. Rangers want a bit of that, but they need investors. So it's exciting times.
0141 951 1025. Come on down and let us know what you're thinking, Rangers fans. Where are you on the scale of sceptical, worried, and on the other end of the scale, pledging allegiance to the US of A and sleeping under your Star Spangled Banner bed sheets tonight? I've seen quite a bit of excitement on social media, but of course nothing's always that straightforward or that simple, and you might have maybe concerns, or there are some obstacles to get over first, and of course there's still more detail to come out about this. Everyone's sort of speculating up to a point, but clearly it's enough that we can have a proper discussion about it. Talks are at an advanced stage. There's clearly a willingness there. It's heading in that direction. So give us a call. How do you feel about it, Rangers fans? If you want to go through some of the detail, we can do. Is it very simply that you just feel you need something drastic, whatever that is? Are you now at that stage? I don't know, maybe at a different time you see a story like this and you are sceptical for various reasons, but now you think, you know what, we need something. Even if there are risks, even if it's not guaranteed to be absolutely out of this world in every way, is it time that you just need something? You need to roll that dice and see what happens. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. As Mark Wilson quite rightly said, it is only day two of the fallout from Munich. So how do you look back on it now, Celtic fans? I think we were on air until 11 with Gordon DL, and the emotion was really high. And then last night, still there was that real pride there. Now you've had a couple of days to think about it. How do you look back on the Champions League campaign as a whole, and what's maybe needed to take that next step, and how you're set up now for the Champions League. Give us all your thoughts there, please, Celtic fans, on 01419511025. And Partick Thistle fans, if you want to know the starting 11, the formation, the instructions for this week, well, I've got the guy that took training today.
You only want to know, trust me. Aye.
Don't you do yourself
Kick it long. We're going for the long game.
He was in there. Honestly, he was in there. He had all the salt and pepper things out going, this is the way we're going to line up. They play this formation. This is where I want them to get
the
ball.
Got to use every utensil you can at your disposal.
No, do you know what?
He was impressive. Very impressive.
I'm turning this around tonight. I think we're too hard on him. I'm turning this round. I think we need to talk this guy up. I think he does know his stuff.
Guy a job.
He did.
What are you talking about?
He gave me my first step into the world.
Nobody talks MD up any higher.
You've slaughtered him three times a week since.
Yeah, because I then realised his ability
in
the job.
I tuned in a bit of the show on Tuesday and I heard you saying my tracksuit would be in the charity shop by Monday morning. That's the kind of support you get.
Well,
there's
no opening Sunday.
Seriously, how's it been?
Look, it has been hectic, no doubt about it. Again, I've been at clubs where the manager loses their jobs, never a nice time for anybody. I've been a manager who's lost my job. So, first and foremost, not a nice time for Chris and Paul. But Brian and I were asked pretty early on Tuesday morning if we could just take training and prepare for the game this week. So that's what we've done, really, and we'll see how it goes after that. But a million things going on, as you can imagine, at a club that's going through that kind of transition, but has to move on, didn't it? As quick as possible.
Well, we can get stuck into some of the specifics a bit later on if you so wish. 01419511025. And don't forget, all this week we've got a pair of tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day on Saturday the 8th of March. All you need to do is come on and make a point to the panel. I mean, try and make it a good one, but technically it doesn't even matter. As long as you're through and you speak to the guys, you're in the hat for the tickets. We've done it every night this week. We'll continue to. And then tomorrow, the prize is ramped up a bit as well. So you can still buy tickets, of course, air-racecourse.co.uk. But what a double whammy that is. Come on here, speak to Mark and Gordon, make your point, chat football with us, and potentially win the tickets anyway. So 01419511025. That is the number that you need. Of course, you can tweet, as always, at ClydeSSB. Give us a shout, whatever it is that's on your mind. I do suspect that the potential takeover, potential investment of Rangers will be one of the leading topics. So give us a call. It broke a bit last night, like I said. So it's a takeover involving the San Francisco 49ers group. And this, of course, has everyone talking, I think, because Rangers fans are hoping for something. They're hoping for investment. They realise that they're behind on the pitch, but that kind of comes from off the pitch, doesn't it, as well? So it looks like there is a kind of broad agreement between parties at the moment. It looks like there is a willingness, and certainly more than a willingness, on behalf of Rangers' existing shareholders to sell than there perhaps would have been previously. There are various ways of looking at this. Parag Marath, who's the Leeds United chairman, because the same group also own Leeds United, he's a key player in this prospective takeover as well. So let's get stuck into it. It's a bit different from what has come up recently in Scottish football. There is a lot there. There is a lot unknown. I think we would have to all admit that as well. But it's really just tonight about getting a sense of how you feel, Rangers fans. Is it all just pure excitement? Or are you looking at some of the detail as well and just wondering how it's all going to play out? John's going to kick things off. How are you, John?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on tonight. It was just that Rangers definitely need investment. There's no doubt about that. But on top of the investment, we also need financial prudent people running the money side of it. No doubt that will happen if they bring in their own people. You know, if people are going to invest huge sums of money in Rangers, they'll obviously go out and say. And deep down, I think everybody going to Ibrox now, or the majority, realise that the people who are there, they know, have had their day. It's time for them to move on. And that's basically what's needed. It needs an overhaul, but it needs an overhaul with the right people. There's no point in just change for change's sake and bringing in people who are only going to be very good with figures and giving away stupid money to second-rate players. We need financial prudence with the money that we're bringing in.
Look, you're the first caller, John, but I am expecting a bit of excitement amongst the Rangers fans, and I think you've maybe given us an insight into why. It is the overriding feeling that you just need change and you want change, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there would have been a time on here where this type of story might be met with the response along the lines of, well, hold on, these guys running the club, they're not going to be Rangers men. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it the way we do. They're not going to be supporters. Part of a multi-club ownership group? Oh, I don't know about that, because are we going to be the priority, or are we just part of this big, you know, business, and maybe some of the other clubs in the group would be the priority? Are these guys just in it to make money? Do they really care about us? But is it just all changed now for Rangers fans, where really you just feel like you need to roll that dice and you need drastic change?
We definitely need drastic change. I don't think that Sheikh Mansour was a big, massive Man City fan. You know what I mean? So we need change. The world's evolving. Sports evolving. And I'm sure that these people, I'm quite looking forward to it if it comes in, comes to fruition. But it's really people, we need people, proper businessmen with financial clout coming into our club. We don't need people who are worth $8 million or $7 million putting it in and taking it back with a higher interest rate. We need proper investment with proper people, and that's basically it. I'm quite happy with it, but we need the people who are running the club, and who Rangers men are not at the club, because they're not running it right.
I think that is the overriding feeling, Mark. I mean, like we said, kind of post 2012 and everything that happened, Rangers fans at that point would have wanted to protect the club in a bit, and, you know, have it under the custody of people that, you know, were close to it and got it and cared and all that sort of stuff. But the impression I'm getting from Rangers fans now is like, well, we've done that and we've seen that way, and whatever it is, for a multitude of reasons, it's not cutting it, so let's try something new.
I think so. So 13 years ago, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then, a lot been tried with good faith. I think the Rangers fans probably at that time had the right idea that they want the club protected by people who care about the club. But I think John's spot on there. Football has moved on at an alarming pace since 13 years ago, not just for Rangers, but for clubs all throughout Europe, and especially the UK. UK is a good example. John brought up Man City there, and how quickly things can develop at a club if you get the right investment and you're part of the right group who obviously care about your club because they're willing to invest. Rangers are a massive club. I always thought it would come down to something less for Rangers. I never thought they would find this one Rangers fan who was a billionaire who would just care about Rangers. I always thought there was going to be some sort of takeover. It was part of a group to get them back closer to Celtic, and this might just be the occasion. I really can't see many downsides to it, just because of where Rangers are at the minute.
I think with everything, there are potential downsides. Mm. Let's not pretend that there aren't. But at the same time, Gordon, you can understand John's thought process so clearly of like, well, surely it's time to take a gamble and see if it can be better than what's currently happening.
100%. I don't think there'll be many Rangers fans waking up this morning or listening last night, Gordon, getting this news and thinking, oh, that's a negative. I think if you're looking across the city, which Rangers fans do, let's not be kiddied here and see Celtic going away into the horizon with the way they run their business. Rangers need an injection of cash. They need better leadership off the pitch and on it, for me. So I do think that it would be exciting if it's all done properly and it's in the right way. You talk about Rangers men in there. I've always been one for years now at look at clubs, and I don't get this. Well, we need Rangers men, we need Celtic men.
To me, you need the people in the right jobs that can do the jobs.
Of
course you do, but just worth a little bit of consideration of the fact that...
Well, you can't take what happened in 2012.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is people have gone in there and for the so-called, you know, the love of the club, have put a lot of money in.
100%.
So, you know, that's what I mean. People at a certain time had to be willing to do that. Now, I'm not saying that's right and this is wrong. That's actually the point I'm trying to make about how circumstances change and attitudes shift. But at the time, that was the point. People that were going to sort of give everything in a business sense, but also emotionally as well, because they love the club. You won't, in theory, you don't get that from a kind of multi-club model, if that's what we're calling it. But that doesn't mean that's wrong either, because it can also come with a
no,
lot
you've got to,
of benefits.
You've got to, look, I would never criticise any of these guys you're talking about, because they went there, and I don't know what the deals are, but they put a lot of money into the club and a lot of their own investment into the club. And they worked very hard for it, because they were Rangers men. They want to keep the club going. They want to make sure the club was as good as they possibly could. But I think even now, sitting, you realise, I think Mark's right. This is what's needed. If it's all put in place properly, and the way football is now run with different companies, especially from America and over and abroad, Gordon, then if it's all done properly, I think this would be a great move for Rangers.
Any potential downsides, John, at the moment? Anything that worries you even slightly?
No, just to make sure. I'm not really, because we don't know who's heading this group up or who's going to be the chairman or anything. So, but the last point I would like to make to you is, that, and I made it earlier on, kind of going over it, was that football has evolved, that we're not going to get a guy come in and give us £50 million because he's a Rangers man. Mm-hmm. These things are finished. They are done. You know, clubs are costing far too much money to get to the top of the tree now in football. And Scotland is a backwater. Don't be kidding. There are two teams here that are worth investing in that type of money. Rangers and Celtic. Celtic don't need them. They've been invested in. But Rangers now, to play catch-up, need a substantial investment. And the only way it would be from either capital investors or this group, and which will probably have investment capitalists in it. But that's the way forward for Rangers. But the most important thing, that my point was, is that when you do get this investment, is the people who are touching the money are proper people and know what they're doing with it.
Good man, John. Make some fair points. Thank you very much to John on the line, kicking things off tonight. You got any thoughts on it? I know that it's tough to sort of come up to the same level of financial expertise as Mark Wilson and Gordon BL have, but don't worry, I've managed to get some supporting cast as well. We're speaking to football finance expert Kieran Maguire earlier. He says it makes sense that the 49ers enterprise would be interested in buying Rangers. However, he doesn't think it will necessarily be totally straightforward to get the deal done.
Makes a lot of sense. Rangers has a very fractured ownership. You've got some significant shareholders who don't actually have control, who don't necessarily seem to get on particularly well. That has at times been reflected in the boardroom as well. And it's essential for Rangers Football Club to have everybody rowing in the same direction. Therefore, a takeover which gives another party a majority control could potentially allow the club to be more focused. We are talking, I would suspect, a nine-figure price to achieve control of all of the club. We saw San Francisco 49ers acquire Leeds United for £170 million. Yeah, that's a club which was losing money. It's got to be remembered that Rangers lost a significant amount of money last season, despite making European football. And that would be taken into consideration by any prospective owner. They've got to get the cash flows right once the club is acquired, as well as finding the cash to buy the club in the first place.
What do you think? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Nice big cough into the mic. Gordon DL there, that was great, thank you. He's alongside Mark Wilson, and they're both waiting for you to get in touch, so please come on down on 0141 951 1025. Alan is a Rangers fan from East Kilbride. How's it going, Alan?
Yeah, very good, very good.
What's on your mind tonight? I think I know, but surprise me.
Well, I watched, so went to see a couple of games last couple of weeks. Rangers versus Ross County. Rangers looked fantastic. Every single time they moved forward, they looked as if they were going to score. They then went to the Queen's Park game and they got to the 18-yard line and went, what do we do now? It was two different teams. Tuesday night, watched Celtic play against Bayern Munich. Absolutely fantastic. I was thoroughly disappointed. I mean, I was genuinely really upset when Bayern scored in the last minute. That was just... Celtic should have went through. They were such a good team. They were fantastic. Everything about them was amazing. Really, really good. So what I'm thinking then is, when it comes to this potential takeover, is this the Fergus McCann moment for Rangers? Because obviously with Celtic, we're down in the doldrums. They weren't really doing anything. Suddenly this accountant from Bermuda came forward and just changed the business model, changed the stadium, changed the team, changed the setup, changed the financial model. And suddenly, as I say, you went from Celtic being down the doldrums to potentially beating one of the biggest teams in the world within a second of beating the biggest team in the world. So is this takeover the Fergus McCann moment for Rangers?
That's a question. That is smart, Wilson. I mean, what, 30...
I was going to say, it's taken 30 years 30, to get to that, so...
31 years, the world's an entirely different place, football's entirely different, but Alan does mean it in the loosest sense, to be fair, of just, you know, the impact. And I dare say Rangers fans would be hoping the answer is yes.
Well, you can see the comparisons, can't you? I can remember as a young kid, as a Celtic fan in those days, and there wasn't much to celebrate, was there, in those days, and all of a sudden everything seemed on the up with a new stadium, and all of a sudden there was glamorous signings coming in, and the club did change, and pretty swiftly at that, to actually compete with Rangers. And then, of course, as time wore on and Martin O'Neill came in at the turn of the century, then it was a whole different club altogether. That's just in the space of, what, 6 years, 7 years, something like that. So there may be still a lot of time before Rangers gets back as a club to its sparkling best, what some of these fans are used to. But you can see the comparisons, how it could be. You know, that never seems to be far away from some sort of... Scandal's not the right word at Rangers, but some sort of story behind the scenes at Rangers, drama behind the scenes at Rangers, fans not happy at certain shareholders or whatever, or no money for signings, and all of a sudden there's X amount of loans going to... It's always just round the corner, whether this would just blow that out the water and make them, in my mind, a stable club.
I get the excitement, Gordon, that's so understandable. It just... There's so much sort of unknown as well. You know, I think, you know, it looks like a... The aim would be for a majority stake over 50%. So how much does that cost? I mean, I've seen people talking about, you know, let's go really, really roughly 100 million or into the hundreds of millions. They presumably have deep pockets and they would need to, because you'd buy the club and then you would want to put
money.
The money in to make things happen. As Mark says, that might take time to show results on the pitch. You never really get that much time, but then ultimately, like I say, maybe the Rangers fans are at sort of rock bottom, so to speak.
I was just going to say that. See, after getting knocked out the cup with Queen's Park, the manager doesn't lose his job, everything like that. Years gone by, the manager, there'd been such a outcry, the manager had been out the door that night, whatever. But the fans, and we've heard them on this programme for months and months, they're sick to the teeth. They pay a lot of good money, they go along there in huge numbers. They travel well, they go and spend their money. They need some excitement, Gordon. Now, I don't know if it's going to go through, but just now, any fan I was speaking to today, you can hear the excitement in their voices. Just want something to happen, because...
Does that feed into the more kind of immediate discussions we've been having then? Patrick Stewart, even as recently as what? Yesterday was that? 2 days ago? Yesterday saying, again, you know... It takes more than just sacking the manager. And I know a lot of Rangers fans kind of disagreed with that if you're looking at the small picture. But maybe that kind of is the truth. Maybe it's something of this scale, really, that changes it. Does a new manager catch Celtic? You know, just a new manager?
No. I think
does a tweak in formation catch Celtic? Does James Tavernier getting the captaincy? You know, all these small things that we speak about. Maybe the harsh reality is none of that makes you catch Celtic, and it would take something.
The only way you've got a possibility of catching Celtic is this sort of a thing happening, Gordon? Someone just coming in, taking the club with new ideas by the scruff of the neck, investing the capital in there, and then all of a sudden seeing the changes. Because right now, I think what really upsets, as much as the way Rangers are running their team, and I know the manager comes in for a lot of criticism as well, what upsets Rangers supporters a lot, and it's happened for years and years since the days gone by, is the fact that they're looking at a club at the east end of Glasgow just getting bigger and bigger and better financially, on the pitch, everything about them, growing absolutely brilliantly. And I think Alan touched on it. They were seconds away from beating Bayern Munich in their home patch. So it shows you how far they've came. And I keep going back to it. Rangers supporters want a bit of that.
Sorry, I was going to say, it takes a brave man. If Patrick Stewart has seen the bigger picture in the long term, it takes a brave man to shield the criticism that's coming his way, knowing fine well that something like this might be coming down the line. So just, you know, holding the fort with Philippe Clement. But we all know football fans, a lot of football fans don't see the big picture. They see the picture as in being next Saturday and catching Celtic this term.
But what you didn't see, Mark, I agree with you. I think if he's seen this picture coming, I think he's going, right, OK, we can...
Well, these talks have apparently been ongoing since October, so I'm pretty sure he's aware of it.
We can ride this sort of it's not been the greatest. Obviously, the Europa League is still there for them. They've done brilliantly in that, and you can't deny them. But what he didn't see coming, on top of that, was losing to Queen's Park. That was his problem.
Alan, any downsides for you? Because just the harsh reality of life is nothing is 100% positive and nothing's that straightforward.
So my background is cycling. So I'm not a massive football fan. My son's got into it, so I've got into football, as these things happen. But what I would liken it to is Team Sky. So Team Sky came into cycling and they had no experience, they had no knowledge. What they had, though, was a massive, massive backer and somebody who had the ability to look at other things. I mean, Team Sky used Formula One as their knowledge base for engineering, for how they would fix bikes and things like that. So they had this different ability, this different kind of knowledge base to try and look at things differently. And they went from being somebody who was unknown, and then within 5 years had won 3 Tour de France. So the biggest race in the world, they won it. And that's the thing. You might not need somebody who's involved in football. You might not need somebody who's always been involved in football. You can actually use outside knowledge, outside funds, people who are not knowledgeable in football, to actually create something which is different and can create fantastic results.
Yeah, and look, the thing is that they could be, we don't know what the exact makeup is, but I take Alan's core point. But ultimately, this group are now in football at Leeds. You know, they initially invested, they built that up to that majority stake they've got now. I think it was 170 million they paid for Leeds in 2023. And it's different markets with Leeds. I'm sure they're going to aim to get them to the Premier League. That's where they would then make lots of money. The unique thing about Rangers or Celtic is that you've got relatively easy access to the Champions League. You know, you're not going to make the same money of the English Premier League, but you know that you can, or at least Europe of some form. That's, I mean, that's obviously the attraction, isn't
it? Of course, it's got to be. And that's American football that's popping up all over the country. They're trying to resemble what we've got here in Europe, and the pinnacle of Europe is the Champions League. If you get an opportunity as one of these massive franchises to buy your way into that, and bear in mind, a lot of the big clubs, those blue chip clubs, won't allow that because they're already controlled. If you get an opportunity like a Rangers with an easy access, you're going to take that because that's where they all want to be, as American sports companies, at the elite end of football. And it's hard to get there if you don't have the right means. And even with Leeds, you're going to have to play the long game with Leeds if you're going to ever get any European success. So Rangers might just be an easier avenue for them.
Thank you very much to Alan from East Kilbride. I just brought back memories of the time that you turned up at my house on your bike and your
Remember
lycra.
Yeah, I was Team Gordon.
You know what? First I like these cycling days.
First day of lockdown, he turned up at my house in his lycra. No,
that's not how you want to turn up.
Stood at the
what
end of
happened
the drive.
To the bike?
He took up golf instead. It genuinely is that.
Yeah, I'm
he
a
could
professional.
Cycled to the golf and done a bit of both.
Did you know something? I'm going to get back in at my cycling. Alan's just put me in the mood for it.
I gave you a bike, remember?
Oh, I weigh one wheel. It's the only bike
a unicycle.
I couldn't believe that. I'm yellow as well.
Forgot the back wheel on
couldn't
it.
Couldn't even give that.
It's a good frame on it.
I thought it was.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what just happened there. James is in Hindland. How's it going, James?
Hi, hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Fine.
What are you thinking tonight?
I was just concerned about the possibility of the rain.
Right, hold on, James's line is very ropey, but we'll try and get that cleared up. I felt like he was onto something. I felt like he was onto a good question there. Was James.
Hello?
So, oh, James, we've got you now. How's that?
How quick was that?
Yeah.
Still there?
Maybe not.
No, he is. I can sense it. James, yeah. Are you still with us?
Hello?
Good. Right, sorry, James. We couldn't quite hear James's question, so start again, James. I think we've got you now.
Good, then. It's just regarding the 49er thing and the thing with Leeds and then the thing coming to Rangers. Mm-hmm. I don't go to football anymore, but I still take quite a bit of interest in it. And I was, how does that go if it goes through? How does it go with, in a couple of years' time, if Leeds get into the Champions League and also along with Rangers and they get drawn against each other? I was just interested, could there be a conflict of interest there?
I think it's a really good question. It's one of the most pertinent questions. And actually, I feel like I do know the answer, but it means more when it comes from Kieran Maguire, football finance expert. So I'll play his answer on that when we spoke to him earlier on about multi-club and that sort of stuff and how it ultimately it would be allowed.
It is possible to have a majority stake in both Leeds and Rangers. We've seen Bill Foley effectively do the same with Bournemouth, and I'm not quite sure what his stake is in Hibs. We know potentially that Tony Bloom of Brighton could have a minority investment in Hearts. The only issue that would arise from having a majority stake in both clubs would be, let's say that if Leeds get into the Premier League, have a couple of successful seasons, if Leeds qualify for the Europa League and Rangers qualify for the Europa League, then there could be complications. But we have seen this dealt with. UEFA, to a large extent, has caved in terms of multi-club ownership, and you'll set up some form of blind trust, which would, in theory, enable both clubs to be run independently of one another.
So there you are. UEFA have kind of caved in, was Kieran's expression, Mark. And you should be able to see these examples. Girona and Man City are both part of the City Group, played in the Champions League. Is it Nice and Man United? That sort of stuff. So I think, though, there, again, it doesn't mean it's all 100% completely fine, no problem, in you come, no questions asked, but you need to sort of have the right details in place to make sure that there isn't that conflict. Or I think was it Man City and Girona, there then conditions put in place to say yes, you can do it, but you need to do X, Y and Z to fulfil certain criteria. So I think at this stage it's, and by the way, as I'm sure everyone has realised, even listening to Leeds are in the Championship just now, they need to get up, they need to qualify for Europe, but it is still the issue. It's not, listening to Kieran saying UEFA have caved, it is not, doesn't seem to be as big as an issue as it used to be.
No, and I wonder if it was an issue UEFA never really foreseen coming anyway. And especially when you talk about the difference in Leeds and Rangers, what about Man City and Girona at the time? Girona obviously just rocketed up and ends up in Europe. So there seems to be a solution. So that would possibly mean that wasn't going to be an issue as long as everything was put in place just as it happened, everything was signed off.
I mean, I wouldn't dare to question Kieran Maguire, who knows infinitely more about these things than I do. The only slight caveat, I think, to that answer that we heard when he mentioned Hibs is Hibs, the stake in Hibs is smaller, and it, you know, it was sort of capped, is it 29.9%, something like that. So ultimately, James, any deal would need to be cleared by the Scottish FA. Now, there used to be that, I think there was that kind of guideline or that rule brought in to basically guard against rogue owners, guard against people coming in like that and doing what they want. But ultimately now, I think you just go and make your case. Is it Dunfermline have got new owners?
Yeah.
Dunfermline's own ownership is something like, it's in the high 90s. It's essentially the entire club. And they've got a stake in, is it Cordoba in Spain, something. So You go make your case to the Scottish FA. You have to convince them that you wouldn't sweep in and do anything completely mad, change the colour of Rangers shirts or whatever, and you know,
what is the 49ers red?
No. I'll take red, white, and gold.
There you go. Can you
did
see
Cardiff not do that?
Yeah.
Cardiff changed, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't last long.
Well, it didn't get in well.
You basically, I think the best way of describing it would be, yes, the Scottish FA would need to be satisfied. I don't know what that would look like because I don't know what the exact proposal is, but it's not impossible. It could be done. I think that's the kind of vaguest way of putting it, James. Does that make sense?
Oh, but you
Signal in Highland, you know that room that you can't get a signal.
I think I hear, but I've got the big cans on. He said something about as a while away before Leeds and all that. But even at that, that's when it gets to the sort of UEFA level, and that is the most, is I going to say the most important level? I don't know if that's even the right way of putting it, but anything would need to be cleared by the Scottish FA first.
Do you think that'll be a problem? Scottish FA come up with some strange things sometimes, did it?
Well, look, we're in a very
never straightforward.
We're in a very argumentative and strange part of the footballing world where everything will be viewed through the rivalry. Like that's what we do for everything. But you do wonder if, in a wider sense, if a club can. That's why it has been relaxed in recent times, because if someone come in and say, "Well, look, this is good for Scottish football. Yeah. This is going to bring money into Scottish football. This is going to get more eyes on Scottish football." That would be part of the consideration of ultimately why would you go out your way to
block it,
to block that or stop it. And again, I know that people would then say, I bet they'll do this for Rangers and they won't do that for another team or vice versa. But I think there would be a more intelligent discussion around that, you would like to think.
Yeah, we've moved on from the dark days, what happened to Rangers. And you're right, Gordon, I think there would be, everything would be scrutinised, everything would be looked at. And if it was in a positive way, not just for Rangers, but you're right, Scottish football as well. You know, we just can't have, at this moment in time, I've actually heard Celtic fans on here now saying, listen, we've outgrown Scottish football. And they're saying that because of the fact the state that Rangers are in. Because it's always really been Celtic and Rangers, apart from when Fergie ruled in the 80s with Aberdeen. Jim McLean had a little go at it with Dundee United as well, but it's all mainly Celtic and Rangers in this country. We need a good, strong Celtic, and we've certainly got that, but we need that competition. It has to come from Rangers.
Okay, thank you to James. Sorry, we got the gist of his question. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Oh my God. Win £375,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Now listen, it's not all about football clubs, it's getting life-changing money, let me tell you, because one single phone call could change your life tomorrow. With £375,000 up for grabs, it's tax-free, it goes straight into your bank after the call. Somebody needs to win it, it might as well be you. Text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Answer your phone. That's it. The money straight into your bank. It could not be simpler. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here at 0141 951 1025. You want to give us a wee rendition of the Star Spangled Banner or anything, just to sort of set the mood?
I'm not very good at that.
You're over there with the stars and stripes. Straight friend, you
born in the USA or something?
Oh, born in the US. Bruce Springsteen. Yes, I'm not bad at that. When I get my rock and roll pants on. Yeah.
It's amazing how just the staftest question just, and it is my fault because I should know to not.
Now I've got an image of you with your stars and straight pants on.
No, it's what the Americans call them, pants, didn't they?
Or trousers.
Yes.
See, I was thinking back in Germany when you were cutting about the room with.
Oh, my thong. A thong. Listen, I'll be saying things on it.
I was thinking of more the other word that Americans use for down there, and we use it differently.
I'm trying to let that one out, mate. Don't get me in trouble here.
I know. Don't
try to work this one out.
It was more something that people call you regularly, I would say.
Oh, the dazzle.
0141. That doesn't begin with an F.
Yeah, I know what it calls.
0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. Give us a call. Tweet us, whatever you like. John is on the line. How are you, John?
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Not bad, John. Not bad. What are you thinking tonight then?
Maybe I'm the only one. I'm a wee bit wary of this, the 49ers coming in.
Why?
As a Rangers fan. Well, what I'm worried about is that Rangers could end up a satellite club, and the people that don't make it at Leeds or people that are being developed for Leeds could end up just being shipped up to Rangers, and we could end up with being a feeder team to Leeds or something like that. That's my main concern.
Do you know what? It's such a fair question. Mm. I also don't grudge the Rangers fans who are blindly excited, because they've had very little to cheer about. So I don't hold it against them for being blindly excited, blindly optimistic. But it is worth considering these things. You know, do you, as an example, right, the City group, Girona is probably the closest because they've now got pretty good and they've got to the Champions League. But all those, the teams in Japan and Australia and America or whatever, they know who the top dog is in the group, right? It's fairly obvious. Even though they're not having a good time, if, you know, Man United are going to be the top dogs there. Rangers and Leeds, you wonder what the dynamic would be.
Who's your top dog?
Say the owners have X amount of money that they want to spend, and where do they put it? What's the priority? You've got two big clubs there, two big fan bases, two demanding fan bases, two historic clubs. So I think it's at least fair, and this is not about bursting anybody's bubble, but I think it's just fair to acknowledge that there can be challenges with this sort of thing.
I think so. However, I would wonder, a company putting in that amount of money, 100 million plus to you, would they use you as a feeder club? I think that's a pretty sizable investment to show that you're either on par or it would be run as equals. I think the Champions League thing is a big thing, and the two horse race up here would put Rangers on a par.
See, to be fair, maybe those are two slightly different issues then. I think clearly you're right, they're on a, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe the difficulty is that you're on a par.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But yeah,
because then,
of course,
then it's harder then to sort of choose what your priority is. And by the way, though, this is all just a potential issue, because people are more than entitled to say, yeah, but these guys are putting their money in, they want to make money back, and therefore they need to make good decisions and run the club well.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that it's a disaster, but worth considering.
Could it not work in a positive? You're talking about a feeder club. If Leeds United, for instance, get into the English Premier League, now there'll be players, if Rangers get a picky players from Leeds in the English Premier League, surely in Scottish football that's going to improve their side.
And listen, as well, that everything is evolving, football's evolving. Talk about, you know, shared knowledge, shared experience. You and Leeds working collaboratively to share best practice and whatever.
Yeah.
Sports science.
But that's
medicine.
The Man City group, particularly, run throughout the world.
Exactly.
You can see everything about that running the same from club to club in terms of how they play and how they develop players, and it all joins into one big happy family. You've got to say that's very, very successful. If Rangers were a part of something like that, is it a bad thing? Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think, John? Are there other positives in there that could come into your thinking? And maybe
just
outweigh some of it.
It's just what I'm thinking is, I'm all for the money coming in, of course. Like, Rangers are obviously in dire need of investment, that's pretty obvious, but it's just something's niggling at the back of my mind. Is like, I'm seeing the Craig White and all that, and I'm like, is this the best decision for Rangers? Somebody that's, I'd rather have somebody that's their sole focus is on Rangers. And I know that's a perfect world and it's not a perfect world, but it seems to me if the 49ers have already got a team that have invested a large amount of money in Leeds, they're expecting some sort of return for that. I'm not comfortable of thinking as Rangers as a development club for another team. That's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, listen, entitled to them. That's until you really know what the detail is, Gordon, because how many different strands are there to running a football club? I want to keep underlining it. I totally get why Rangers fans would be excited, because just what they're really seeing is
Yeah, bigger picture
trophies.
Money.
Are they just trophy, going, yeah. Money equals trophies. It might be that along the way, this consortium come in and they want to raise revenue and they bump ticket prices right up. And then Rangers fans go, ah, hold on a minute. Oh, I know I want those trophies, but I don't like that. So there's just so much to get through here. I think at this stage, you're allowed to be kind of blindly optimistic.
Yeah, well, we're at early stages. We don't know all the facts. So we have to wait to see what develops. But I think that right now for Rangers, I think it's a positive, and I think they need positive scoring, and I think the fans need that. I think they need a vision, and I think they need to look towards next season, the future, to take Rangers forward, because I keep saying it, Celtic are going miles away from them. So they need something, and I think this is sort of at the beginning, and it's given them that little bit of hope. Yes, everything's got to be right for them. We don't know how that's going to work. A comparison with Leeds, so we just have to wait on that. But any investment into Rangers just now, and that sort of financial investment, I think it can only be a good thing for Rangers.
Thank you to John from Cumbernauld, who's in the hat for the tickets to Ayr Races, so he's got that potentially to look forward to. Let's look forward ourselves to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Gordon Deal and Mark Wilson are here. I don't want to go over old ground too much, but I do think I've been hard on you in Beat the Pundit before. Hands up, rookie. Mm-hmm. Guilty as charged. I've been hard on you many times. I do think I gave you a real pass on
no,
Tuesday.
You didn't.
See, the more I think about it.
No, you didn't.
Oh, what's went on in
the
Tuesday?
The guy wears that name on the
doesn't
back of his strip.
Doesn't matter what he wears his name. Question, hold on a minute. Which Van Dijk's name?
The question
which
was...
Which Van Dijk's name?
See, just for one second, if you'd let me explain.
No.
That would be lovely. The question was, who was the only player sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend? Right? And the caller said, Hibbs' new signing, and he said his first... Or like, what we've seen is his first name.
Yeah.
And we didn't give him it. But that's the name that's in the back of the guy's shirt.
No.
And he even described that it was the new signing.
Hold on a minute.
Got to give him
what up. Happens if somebody had said, you used to wear Mark on the back, right? Mm-hmm. Celtic's worst player, Mark.
I'd
right?
give him it if that it was in the back of the
right? No, that's not your name.
But I'd give him
a second name, Wilson.
I'd give him it.
No, you wouldn't. No, you
if
wouldn't.
If it's in the back of the strip,
I wouldn't have got that.
I agree. Anyway, 01419511025. Beat the Pundit
medicine.
Is next, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 01419511025 is the number that you need. And you can get in touch on Twitter as well. Do you know, I wish I hadn't even bothered mentioning the other night's Beat the Pundit, because Ross is on my team. He says Kyogo would be accepted, even though it's Kyogo Furuhashi. Kyogo's back name. And now Darren's going, forget about that. McCoist wasn't the last permanent Scottish Rangers manager. What about Graham Murty? He was permanent for 6 months. No, come on. I've had enough.
Yeah, see, you opened a can of worms. Just give me the victory. And that's...
I told you, it's on your record. We can't.
Last three.
You got beat again.
Three. No, one.
You won, sorry.
But he won on the back of that.
Oh, right. I get it now. No. Robbed.
Anyway, right.
Find a way.
There's been hard. A lot about the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, things you never thought you would talk about, but there is this proposed takeover of Rangers. Talks seem to be in an advanced stage. I can understand the excitement from Rangers fans, because they just want something that's going to lead to a more successful football team. There is a lot to get through, though. How do the Scottish FA view these things? How do UEFA view these things? What does the deal look like? What percentage of the club? How would a new operation run the place? So there's so much to consider, and if you want to keep going, we can do. It's day two of the fallout from Munich, though, Celtic fans. What's on your mind now? How do you reflect on it with a bit more distance and a bit more clarity, less emotion perhaps? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. And a very quick glance, I'm just advertising it, putting it straight out there for you. I think these are some of the easier questions we've had.
They were difficult the other night.
Yeah, they were. I think
they
it's
were
gonna
very
take,
difficult.
I think it's going to take a big score tonight.
Okay. Big score.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ian's a St Mirren fan. How are you, Ian?
I'm not bad. How's yourself, Gordon?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, I haven't.
No, okay.
Sounds serious, Ian.
How's life as a St Mirren fan at the moment? Must be happy enough.
Reasonably happy. hopefully a top six place.
Sort of hard for that middle portion of the league to really know how they feel, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Because you could easily, yes, St Mirren are in the top six, aren't they? Last
yes.
I checked.
Yes.
So
sitting in there on one
four,
goal.
That's what I mean.
Four, so like, 4 points off 11th.
So in theory, that sounds like a good place to be. And then, you know, come the weekend, it might change. Oof. Going to Ibrox. And,
well, look at Motherwell.
You know,
they were right up there, fifth, and all of a sudden they're eighth.
Think you will finish top six, Ian?
I'm hopeful. After the next couple of games, that will be able to tell a wee bit more once we play Rangers and Celtic.
I think Ibrox will have an air of like USA about it.
Yeah. Like Dad says, the big foam fingers
big
and all of that.
Finger and everything,
hot dog vendor in every corner.
Will surely at the very least try and like either ironically or seriously chant like USA, that sort of thing. I don't know.
Helmets on, shoulder pads.
And then Ian will be hoping St Mirren go and spoil it. So it's entirely possible. Thank you for Ian indulging us in a bit of nonsense. Before we get going, let's toss the coin. Gordon, big incentive for you tonight. Always, it's usually the opposite. And you complain. No, this is serious. You can go above Sid with a win tonight. There you go.
Do you honestly think that's my ambition in life, going above Sid?
Well, that was when I took the breaking job. You try to,
I just stand up above Sid.
Has been hatest.
He also, do you know what the worst about this is? I guarantee you, at the most, there's about an inch between you and Sid.
Ah, just behave yourself.
You act like you're a giant.
6 foot.
You're not.
Sid's about 4 foot three.
You're not nearly 6 foot. I've got news for you. You're really
I'm just
not.
Under 6 foot.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're way under 6 foot. You're not.
Do you remember the time we had a height off, me and Mark?
What? Sorry?
A height off. to his. I toured him.
Nah. Anyway, heads it is Mark Wilson, tails it's Gordon DL. Proof that we will argue about literally anything on this show. It is Mr. 6 foot himself, the Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh, is it me again?
The Harlem Globetrotter, Gordon DL. You can probably reach the door from here since he's a man of such height. Right, what we do is give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to. Ian, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Okay, your time, your 30 seconds goes on the clock and it starts now. Which NFL team's owners are reportedly ready to invest in Rangers?
San Francisco 49ers.
Jeffrey Schlupp is on loan to Celtic from which club?
Crystal Palace.
Who do Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore play for?
Napoli.
Who is the last player to move from Scotland's top flight to Liverpool?
Andy Robertson.
Which championship team have the mascot Cappy the Cat?
Hamilton.
Ex-Ranger striker Kemar Roofe has signed for which English championship team?
Oxford United.
Hearts confirmed a kit partnership with which sports brand? Hearts have confirmed a partnership with which sports brand for their
Goma.
Kit? Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
I'm back.
I think you're right with that. Easy start. The easiest.
No, I usually get the easy ones wrong.
That's true.
Tricky. Right? About seven there.
Seven? When there were six questions.
Seconds on the clock, Gordon DL. Your time starts now. Which NFL team's owners are reportedly ready to invest
49.
In Rangers? Jeffrey Schlupp is on loan to Celtic from which club?
Crystal Palace.
Who do Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore play for?
Napoli.
Who is the last player to move from Scotland's top flight to Liverpool?
Andy Robertson.
Which championship team have the mascot Cappy the Cat?
Oh, pass.
Ex-Ranger striker Kemar Roofe has signed for which English championship team?
Swansea. Don't know.
Ian, what's the verdict?
Who's Cappy the Cat?
We'll get
very
there.
Close.
Very close, he says.
Is it?
Ian is a serious man, isn't he? He's one
to one
here.
I imagine going out with him.
It is close. It's very close.
My God.
Let's find out.
He's the toss called Hammer Wisher.
Which NFL team's owners are reportedly ready to invest in Rangers? We've spoken about it all night. Very simple. The San Francisco 49ers.
Are you accepting 49?
Well, I think he did clarify it. At the start he just said 49, and I thought I might take that off him, given what
it's on the back of their shirt.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's in the sleeves.
Not
you missed out the airs though. Just 49.
I come
49.
In my airs. I was clearing my throat. 49.
Jeffrey Schlupp on loan from Palace, both got it. 2-2. Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmore play for Napoli, both got it. 3-3. You both went Andy Robertson as well.
I was
wrong.
I was Aberdeen lad.
Calvin Ramsey. The clue is always slightly in the title. You'd like to think Cappy the Cat.
Capello Morton.
Correct.
Did he get it?
A St Mirren fan. Big rivalry. You think he would know it?
Didn't he?
He didn't.
I know he didn't. Cappy the Cap.
See, Ian, a bit of knowledge about your rivals would come in handy, but it wasn't to be. I'm surprised you've not seen this news today. Thought this would be part of you studying for the show. Kamal Roof has signed for? No?
Don't know.
Today, Derby.
Oh, okay. That was near.
So he's not at the club, has he, since leaving Rangers, and they've given him a short term deal till the end of the season.
Did he get that?
He did not.
Is that where it ends for Ian? What am I going next question?
You're finished.
Am I? You're done. He got another two.
Ian got one more question.
No, he couldn't have.
Hearts have confirmed a kit partnership.
Can't believe that.
What do you mean? What do you think it is?
I've no idea. Exactly. Tell me Ian's not got that.
He said Joma.
Oh, he's got
everybody
that,
sponsored by Joma.
It is
Joma
Hummel.
Oh, it's a tiebreaker.
We're going back to Hummel, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, I could go above 4'3" Sid.
Okay, Ian, this is the deal. I will read the question.
I'll
get Gordon to write his answer down, then I'll invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay,
right. I've probably had something like this before, but
cool.
It changes every week. How many red cards have been dished out in the Scottish Premiership this season? Quickly write it down. Okay, Ian, what are you going for?
32.
Okay.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
A wee bit, I think.
Gordon's going for 100 and snap. 54, he says. You saying 54?
I'm sticking with it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not offering you to change.
All right, okay.
Ian's going 32.
I think I'm a bit much.
You think so?
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark, out of curiosity? Who do you think's closer?
Ian. I would have went Ian with that one.
Okay.
The answer is 32. Oh! Ian's got it on the nose.
Oh, he cheated.
Cannot argue with that.
Oh,
Mark Paisley.
Magnificent.
On the nose.
Forget nose. He cheated.
That is amazing.
Ian, did you cheat?
Who would you cheat?
Lucky guess.
Have we ever had that before?
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody on the nose with that.
Yeah.
Aye.
That's incredible. Well done, Gordon. You can't argue with that. Even you can't argue with that.
It's brilliant. You've been done. How can you Google that?
Did you get that A1? What's that A1 thing there?
What?
A1 when they know a band.
What do you mean?
No,
that's a road.
The thing, the new aperture.
Oh, no. Do you know what's happened? You've seen that written down. It's AI.
That's the very one.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
That's the very one.
So all you've done, you've not really heard of AI. You've seen it written down, and you thought the I's are one.
All right, okay.
He's signing Roman numerals.
That's what he's done. He's been on
stands
the
for something.
A1.
Artificial intelligence. It's not a one. It's an I.
Well, I'm no one. Right, that's okay. So Ian, did you go AI?
No.
you did.
Me, hold Jeremy. On. Is that a one at the start of Ian's name? It's your name, one.
You get mixed up with a lesser known boy band from the 90s.
Oh, I can't believe that. That's so good. That
I thought Hugh's moment last night was going to be my favourite of the week. Did you hear his answer?
No.
And he'll be listening as well, but he knows it's worth repeating. Mm-hmm. What country has Marley Watkins of Kilmarnock got caps with? Jamaica, because he's obviously got Bob Marley.
Hawkins. What country is it?
Wales.
I didn't know.
Slightly different from Jamaica.
I wouldn't have went Jamaica, but Ian, well done.
Well done, Ian. Mr. A1 has been done.
Uh-huh.
Well done to you, Ian.
Enjoy your signed ball. You obviously be kicking about a living room yourself.
Well done, Ian. Take care.
Nobody's going round to Ian's, are they?
Thank you to Ian. Well done, a victory.
Brilliant. 32, right on the bang, A1.
Well, that's really good.
A1.
A1, aye. He's an A1.
Have you been using that A1? That's amazing. Oh, I love that. That's so good.
Oh, here, I meant to say, you actually, Roger sent me a video. What happened in, was it Monday? Ross left the show.
I went to the toilet.
I just needed the toilet.
Carry on, there's no in your hand.
You've got to go when you've got to go.
No. Has that been mentioned since then? Have I missed that?
No, you're right. I think it is the first time that it's ever happened. He just
I nearly
had to go.
Died well after Roger sent me the video and said, look at this.
I just had to go.
Did you see it?
No, but he told me to.
I just went. And then he got to the door and he got to the door and realised he didn't have a fob.
Roger
had to throw his fob.
Does he know we're on telly?
But listen, he's not going to want to pee himself on telly, is he?
Exactly. What would you rather do?
I would just go in the cup under the. So if you hear a zip,
I'll tell you what, that's not a good advertisement for you. I'd just go in the cup. And I still have plenty of room.
So there we go.
I'm laughing a lot when I seen him just come in and just come back in. Like nothing had happened.
You've just got to go.
Well, something did happen. He skipped back in.
So, aye, that's it. It's been a very dramatic, eventful week.
That has been.
Very eventful week, right? 01419511025 is the number that you need. We can keep going on the takeover talk, investment talk, San Francisco 49ers, Leeds, all that sort of stuff. Dual ownership, dual interest, UEFA regulations, Scottish FA's Article 13, I think it is, that talks about this sort of stuff. Or we can do something else. It really is up to you. How do you reflect, Mark, on Munich the other night?
Thought it was outstanding. Like everybody else, everybody said the same. By the time I get here on the Thursday, there's not much more I can add to it. But again, I didn't think we'd see that from one of your sides. I know we always think our side, Celtic and Rangers, when they go in Europe, anything can happen. But I was probably like the majority. I'd seen enough in the first leg that Bayern were a top European side and Celtic are still trying to get to that level. But I thought they matched them in every sense. I thought they were, again, outstanding in how they set up, how they created opportunities, how they took their chance. And perhaps, if I'm being critical, they probably could have taken another couple of those chances.
Was it performance-driven then? Because if we're being honest, I mean, teams can cause shocks. They can get results that they really don't deserve. That's football and it's the beauty of it. When you go 11 against 11, you might sneak a draw and you might even win. And that can just happen, you know, in a sort of lightning striking way. But was it more about the manner of it?
Just the control performance, how it was measured, how it was planned. You could see the tactics within that. And it wasn't a score in the breakaway and get everybody behind the ball and just defend and hoof it long. I mean, Celtic looked comfortable at times.
And there were obviously spells when they had to go deep. And in fact, it probably leads to the goal, doesn't it, at the end?
Well, that's only natural. And you'll see that. And I mean, if Celtic were one up at home against a team maybe in the Scottish Premiership and they were coming under a bit of pressure, it's only natural to start retreating towards your box. It's almost impossible to get out. When you're playing against Bayern, that's obviously heightened and elevated. And it was so cruel how it did end, but I think they can take so much confidence. Brendan Rodgers has to take a lot of plaudits because the last time he was in Germany, he took a 7. And that's now, people were saying, oh, that's just a normal Brendan Rodgers. That now looks like the kind of anomaly, the one that was way out there, and they've learned how to play in Europe.
I think that's part of why Ewan has called tonight. Ewan, you were kind of, I believe, wanting to make some comparisons with the way things have been before and the way they seem to be now.
Pretty much. It was a good evening panel. Very similar to what Mark was saying there. It's hard to add any more to it with what's not already been said. But I just wanted to make the point that I've been on before, and it was sort of between Dortmund and Atlanta, and I had sort of said that I was screaming out for us to give a better account of ourselves, and I feel like we've done that and more, to be honest. This is now a sort of a benchmark. And if we can achieve that level and sort of kick on for that, I'm very, very excited about what the future potentially holds in Europe.
Were you over at the game, Ewan?
I was, actually, yeah.
How was it?
First. Oh, incredible. Everything you wanted.
Your first, did you say? Your first?
My first ever European away day, aye. So.
Hold on.
Not a bad place to go, is it?
There's a lot going on.
It was freezing, wasn't it, Ewan? Freezing.
No, if I was cutting about my shorts, it was brilliant.
Oh, you're for Hamilton, yeah, can understand.
What a standard, though, because in all sort of, like, if you're going to pick a venue, a football is a great city, as we can testify. Yep. You've got
great stadium, the performance, outside.
Probably the best away performance I can remember from a Celtic
think it is.
Team. I'm trying to rack my brains for another one. I mean, you go back, Martin O'Neill's team away to Juventus, they still lose, but there's
Ajax,
an element.
Somebody said.
Ajax 3-0, but you're playing against, although Ajax were good, they're never at Bayern's level or at this stage of the competition. And take into consideration, Celtic are behind from the first leg, the home leg. So your automatic reaction is probably to think, well, they're going to take a bit of a hinding and they have to hang in there. It was anything but that. So I think it's the most impressive one that I can remember in my time, my lifetime, that is away from home, to play against that elite opposition and come out with your head held high. Need to take huge pats in the back for that.
Is that the sort of expectation now, Ewan? Does that come with a bit of danger in that, you know, competing in 90 minutes against Bayern Munich's one thing. Trying to do those types of things regularly is presumably a whole lot harder.
Oh, aye, absolutely. It's, I wouldn't say it's expectation now, but it's now a level that you see you're capable of. So to not get close to it more often on big European nights or elite sort of things, then there's less places for them to hide or excuses to have, because they've now proved that they can do it. So, aye, but I mean, I think if we build on it now, and Brendan Rodgers' comments, like I was on before, and that's what I said to him, he's the only way he can increase his stock is in Europe. He's done everything there is to do up here, so multiple times. So the only way he can increase his stock, if he has got aspirations, a big job down south or elsewhere in Europe, then that's all that's there for him. And
do you think it was really needed, Ewan, as well as part of a bigger picture? I am not for one second suggesting Celtic fans are growing tired of winning domestically, but everybody just wants a next step, don't they? Celtic have almost normalised trebles, which is crazy. We you know, they were a rare thing. Celtic are racking them up regularly. How important was it for you as a fan to try and see a progression there?
Very important. But this is going to sound, I'm probably going to get a bit of ridicule for this, but I would say we've potentially underachieved a bit in Europe with some of the stuff, and it's a bit hard to say that when you've had a few thumpings. But I was screaming out for us to give a better account of ourselves, because I knew we had it in us. You watch some of the games and the confidence and the thing we played, we just didn't transfer that over at Europe. We didn't take our chances was a big thing that came along, and then last night Tuesday night, you think potentially again we could have been 2-3 up in the first half easily, and then you don't know how the game changes after that, if Bayern come back at you or whatever. But I just think there's a lot to be positive about, and what the board are doing the right things, the manager's doing the right things, the team are doing the right things. This, it's all rose in the garden, to be honest. So long may it continue.
When did you get home?
Yesterday lunchtime I was struggling a wee bit. We were getting the wrong train to go to the airport on the way back, and then we had to go off the train and get a taxi, and then I've managed to come home with a limp, which I'm not quite sure how I've developed it, to be honest. But
back to work today.
I was back to work today, yeah. So it's a bit of a blur. I'm not going to lie. It was more. I don't know. There was much quality work getting done today, but I was there anyway in spirit. If nothing else.
Ewan's boss isn't listening. It just reminded me.
Maybe Ewan's the boss.
The biggest pitfall of German train travel.
Yeah.
Make sure you reserve your seats.
Take us back to that.
We had some issues.
We did reserve our seats. That's the problem.
Nah, I don't think we did.
Oh, was that just?
Remember that train we got. That was a wee cabin like out of Harry Potter.
Oh, right.
And it was just us. Where luggage, your cases and everything
is
on us.
Is that the one that he put his luggage in Tappy?
Oh, you chopped my
luggage. He was freaking out. In case his chocolates get broken.
Exactly.
I thought I would leave you, right, because you were obviously... You were at the end of your tether. But now that a few months have passed, I thought that was ridiculous from you, and I'll tell you why. Oh. Right? Because, and I have waited to get this off my chest.
Ooh.
Do you know what happens to your case when you take it to the airport?
It gets battered about.
It gets chucked on the plane. So see whatever chocolates you thought my case was going to squash.
I seen your case was particularly heavy though.
It was a chocolate squash.
I looked out the window at Munich Airport, and I saw your case get launched. And part of me wanted to go, Mark, how do you think your chocolates are faring now? But
you should have said,
I'll leave them.
Because I would have taken it up with those on the tarmac at Munich Airport. It's been with him ever since.
It's only been like 8 months.
I think I was tired. And it was a million degrees in that cabin at the time. So tensions were.
As long as you now admit that you were wrong. Thank you to Ewan and Hamilton on 01419511025. Get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025. Full time teaser.
Come on.
Time. Chance to redeem yourself after your Beat the Pundit defeat. Don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the hat for tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day, Air Race Course. It's the 8th of March. We're doing it every night this week. All you need to do is come on, make a point to the panel, and you get in the hat for the tickets. I've got an even better version of the prize tomorrow as well. So I'm sure that interests you. We've always got a big crossover there. I think everyone many people who listen like the day out, so hopefully we can get them to a good home. On the teaser tonight though, from Michael Donati, he says, can you name six players to sign for Rangers more than once since the year 2000?
Ken
now,
Miller.
Let me finish. It excludes academy graduates, so that must be quite a nice distinction there. So
Miller, Ferguson.
Excludes academy graduates.
Chris Boyd.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the first one you said?
Kenny Miller.
Yes.
I was great the other night.
Andy Halliday.
No.
Is he only a one timer?
I thought he
went back.
That was enough.
It was a loan to Azerbaijan in the middle that you're maybe getting mixed up.
Maybe, yep, okay.
I saw him on the Kingston Bridge on my way in here, just in case you're interested. You just see someone out of context and you speak the horn. Anyway, that's it. That's me. You can think of that when you're trying to get to sleep tonight. That piece of information. Kenny Miller, Chris Boyd.
Did you say?
Let's leave it there. Kanchelskis. He's in twice.
That's
what I asked.
How is that the third person you think of when we're thinking of people at the sign?
He just thinks
of
Kanchelskis all the time. He's stood in the ball.
He has got no such sign for Rangers twice vibes about him in any way. Do you know what I mean?
Back to Russia and came back. Right, I was going
Alan McGregor.
No, he's an academy graduate.
This guy doesn't listen. He doesn't listen.
That's what I was going to say, though.
Oh, is
it? Aye.
Does not listen. David's in Kerfin. How's it going, David?
Hi, lads. How you doing?
Not bad, David. How are you looking back on Munich now with an extra day on?
Well, look, it was just, the word pride has just been everywhere. And that's what it was. But although every single player I thought was 7, 8 out of 10, I thought Arne Engels was a standout. And he's basically sort of given ammunition to Brendan to say, look, this is what happens whenever you go the extra mile for talent and should be the benchmark of what we're looking at now to improve the squad moving forward. Do you know what I mean? He was absolutely outstanding. I don't think he gave the ball away once.
Mark, what did you make of him?
I think David's spot on there. When you invest such a large sum of money and you're going to have off games domestically because you're still adjusting to the league and things might not go for you in patches, but if you perform in the big stage, that's what you're really investing in. Brendan Rodgers is spending that money so he can compete physically with these guys, because remember, there's a huge difference between a Champions League player and a Scottish Premiership opponent in terms of the profile. Engels fits a lot of those kind of midfielders that you see in the continent, and I think he showed that in the two legs. I think he showed how comfortable he is in the ball. Obviously, his set pieces are good, but again, I think he's grown into a top player. He already is a very good player, but games like the other night just shows you what Brendan Rodgers saw in him to invest that sort of money.
I think that was, have you always been, what's the word, sort of understanding of it, David? Because I don't think he's had a brilliant press in every game from the Celtic fans. You know, we get the odd call saying, I'm not sure, and that's maybe even in some domestic games. Was it a real big moment for him?
I mean, domestically, it's been more about sometimes physically. He's been caught out, like the goal with Diamandi in the cup final. There's been a few times that he's just been caught short physically, and maybe with the speed of the Scottish game, but he put everything together the other night. And I mean, as did the full team. I just thought when we're looking to improve next season and go to the next level, when Bayern were bringing on Kingsley Coman, Alphonso Davies and the rest of them, we were a wee bit shorter. And the quality that we're bringing on, we obviously Yang, who's obviously been doing well lately, but it was a bit telling at the depth of our squad. So if we're going to be looking at adding to the squad and hopefully keeping everybody we've got, that's the sort of type of signing we need to be looking at.
That is a fair point. I think, Gordon, I am almost certain everybody involved, whether it's Brendan Rodgers or the board, recruitment department, they'll have a wider picture. But you can understand David's thought of, if you want to use that game, you can say, this is why you invest, here's Arne Engels, and this is why we need to invest more, because we only brought on two subs and we maybe were a bit short in an attacking sense, and we maybe, you know, a bit short in another area. So that one game can probably be held up as quite a good example of what Celtic have done and need to do?
Yeah, well, if they're going to go and keep progressing, and there's no need to, not to, because of the showed over, not just going over there. I thought 20, 25 minutes to go at Celtic Park, I thought Celtic were excellent. They really took the game to Bayern Munich. And you're talking about a real good quality side here, a top quality side. We highlighted it, sorry, on Tuesday night when we were talking about the sort of a, you know, Brendan Rodgers needed that extra bit of quality on the bench at that level. In Scotland, it's okay. You've got guys there that can come on and fit right into the team and it'll be fine. But when you're against Bayern Munich away from home, you look at the middle of the park. Bernardo, for instance, was sadly missed. I think he needed to be there to come on and give that same quality, the freshness, everything about it. But going back to Ingles, since he walked into the building and I've seen him in his first game, I've always thought he's got quality written all over him. He'll just get better. Yes, he's had these sort of ups and downs as a Celtic player, but you can just see the ability in the lad. And he's only got to get better under Brendan Rodgers. Playing the way he played in Munich will just give him more and more confidence. He knows he can play at that level. So I think that's been a brilliant piece of business, even for the amount of money they paid for him.
And if you're Brendan Rodgers, you're never going to get there all in one transfer window or two transfer windows. That's just the nature of Celtic. So Brendan Rodgers, I think, has done well to push the boundaries with the amount paid for Ingles and Ida. I think it was wise not to spend that amount of money in January, of course. But I think in summer, if another couple are added like that, and then you go into next year's Champions League campaign and you're another two players like that, it obviously helps you just add building blocks to what you want the finished picture to look like next year.
But also, as Gordon says, then, you know, you maybe get a better version of Arnie Ingles for this experience.
Oh, you will.
So Alistair Johnson getting a whole lot of praise for the other night, you know, you're getting a better version of him. That's poor even throw in, of course, the complication of does that mean that these guys will be tempted away? But, you know, if people can stay in the building, you maybe get a better version of them.
Of course, and you're adding already a left-back with huge Champions League experience as well, in Kieran Tierney. So Celtic ticking along nicely just now. I think Brendan Rodgers always said that he wanted his side able to compete at this level, and they certainly showed that over those two legs in the knockout ties. I guess the next stage is getting to there, but you need to win away from home. So Celtic certainly rectified their defensive performances against Atalanta, away in Zagreb, much better at Villa, although they came unstuck against a very good team, but almost perfect against a top Bayern Munich team. The next stage is going away to these places and actually being solid, but coming away with a win.
Thank you very much to David, 01419511025. He's in the hat for the Air Races tickets as well. Your teaser tonight is, can you name six players to sign for Rangers more than once since 2000, but it doesn't include academy graduates? Kenny Miller came through at Hibs, of course, and signed for Rangers three times, maybe. Chris Boyd did it twice.
I'll go Steve Davis. Did you have him? I never even seen that. I swear I didn't.
I just pointed it to you and you nodded your head.
I can't see it for a mic. What about Naismith?
No.
Did he do it twice? No.
He did not.
Sure.
Did Lafferty come back?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, two to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the home stretch with Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal. They've got work to do on this teaser sent in by Michael Donati. And if you want to send a teaser in, please do. It's an email address you need, fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the six players to sign for Rangers more than once since 2000, but it doesn't include academy graduates? So, like, you know, Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor, Kenny Miller, Kyle Lafferty, Chris Boyd, Stephen Davis.
Did Liam Kelly come through the system?
He did.
So he's not an answer?
He's not an answer.
He just tapped me there and gave me the silent thumbs up. Don't worry about this.
He winked at me as well, which is quite unnerving.
The worst answer could have come up with.
That's a good answer. He's been there twice.
I know, but he obviously came through the academy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I'm not taking.
Well, they didn't. Who did they sign up from?
Any others?
Oh, Ricky Foster?
Yes, Richard Foster. Well,
that's
done.
A great shout.
That's a great shout. Okay.
I don't know my
We've
next one.
We've only got one more, so let's leave it there and we'll try and get it before the end of the show. I'm sure there's still time for more 49ers takeover chat if you are that way inclined. So give us a call, James. Oh, been looking forward to this. A Partick Thistle fan. Not many clubs. Oh, no. Not many clubs can get a hotline to the gaffer, James.
All right, boys.
How's it going?
Hi, Gordon. The Gordons and Mr. Wilson.
The gaffer. Oh, Mr.
No, no, no. Wilson. The assistant. The assistant.
That's the gaffer to you, James.
That's it. Ah, well, first of all, sad day on Tuesday for Chris Doolan. He's been a legend as a player. He's given his all as a manager. I watched his Raith Rovers. I had a bad feeling watching that game. It may be his last game. It was shocking from the players, but he can't sack the players, though. So Chris is taking one, but obviously I wish him all the best going forward. Seems like a great guy. So anyway, we're on to the next level. So looks like it was a good session today.
Did you see the pictures of him on the training ground, Matt?
Aye.
He tracks it on directing things.
That's that.
Knew where every camera
was. Telling somebody to get my lunch. I was pointing that way.
I thought you looked good.
Aye, thanks.
So it's
What's the team?
What's been happening?
What's happened? Obviously, you're not in the day to day, Mark.
Well, yes, now.
Why the players not been playing for the manager?
Well, that's the case with every club that loses a manager. I said at the top of the show, I've sat in dressing rooms, by the way, loads of dressing rooms, managers lose their jobs. The players obviously have to take a shared responsibility in that. There is no doubt about that. I don't think the players are under any illusions at that. And it is sad that Chris and Paul have lost their jobs. But at the same time, the players need to then understand it can be only them to put things right. So I guess just gauging over the last couple of days, I've only been in with him a couple of days, but I can see that there is a sense of that, and the opportunity is still there to finish in a not too bad position in the league. The playoffs are still in the playoff position, so still in a good enough spot that the season isn't went pear-shaped, but the players understand that they need to start picking up performances, and last week's performance, of course, wasn't good enough, and that's ultimately what led to Chris losing his job. So never a nice time for anybody. I think the players need a few days to digest that, but now they need to start thinking ahead in the first game's Airdrie, of course.
Who do you want to replace Mark Wilson and Brian Graham, James? Or can they win their way?
Are we getting Super Daza and Billy Davis?
Stop it.
Oh, there we go. There's a shout.
Who do you want?
Honestly, don't know. I'm thinking left field. Probably, you might not even get quoted, but somebody like Michael McIndoe, somebody who's making, he's making great. A club that was on the brink of maybe not going out of business, but well, potentially.
Yeah, Edinburgh City.
Potentially, and he's taking boys from literally from the lowland leagues. He sold a player for however much to Dunfermline, who scored 18 goals in half a season, who couldn't even kick a ball for Clyde. And that was a bad Clyde team last year.
I don't mind it. So, it's a well thought out suggestion, Michael McIndoe. Listen, he's a friend of the show as well. Brian Graham's not here. I suppose you guys, just what you try to do, just win every game and win, see how many games you're
I was going to say, it's not about every game. I mean, we were literally asked to take care of the team for this week and prepare them well for the game, and then we'll see after that. But I guess just pick up the spirits of the team this week, give them maybe some ideas that we're thinking of that could help them.
I mean, is Brian going to play, presumably? You're giving it away. You then
I can't,
need to be
I
the
can't
man
tell
the...
that. Can I can't no, say that.
I thought I'd push my luck.
This is where I'll have full respect for you. If Brian Graham plays and you sub him after 65, your respect will go there for me.
He'll be listening as well. Thank you to James on the line. Let's bring in Matt, who's on the other line. Matt, what have you got for us?
Before I make my point, can I say something to Mulder's boy Matthews? To terrorise me with Celtic.
And then Tuesday night, he's a bit in the downer. And all I want to see him, hey, you there with the sad face, come up to my place, we'll live it up, to cheer him up.
All right, why is he down? No, but I don't be nosy.
No, he was down because he texted me right before Bayern Munich scored. He says, this is it, Dad. We're going through to the next round, then Bayern Munich scored. So he's in a bit of a downer, my son.
Oh, got you now. Okay.
It'll be a worse downer listening to this phone
call. It takes a lot of bottle, doesn't it, to phone up the radio and sing live like that.
Anyway, what else are you thinking, Matt?
I'm thinking about the takeover with Rangers, but if it happens, it kind of looks like, I mean, I remember years ago when David Murray took over, then we went on a run of 9 in a row with Bung Souness and Walter Smith, and the whole dynamic of the club had changed. They're spending money on big players. If the England wanted to come up and play with Rangers, and it was everybody knew their job and everybody wanted to play for Rangers on the park. So, but I also think Clement's job would be on a stick at Wickett if these boys be 69ers come in.
Oh, my word. Please.
Hey, you there Freeze, come up to my place.
Do you want to know the worst of it is? I think that is an accident. I genuinely do. I don't think Matt
if they
that
come in, I'll be going to the games.
Stop it. Seriously.
I'll be getting a season ticket.
You know what I thought? It might happen.
What's your thought? Do you think that was an accident? I genuinely feel like it might have been
an accident.
It's a very unfortunate one. Whatever has been on Matt's mind has seeped into his point.
They're one of these boys in the down.
Don't think about your dad in that way, do you? Right, enough. Seriously. Oh, we nearly made it to the end of the show. What a team.
We're all supporting them. Go on. It started so well with a song and it's ended in farce.
It's ended in really, really grim. I guess sometimes on this show you just don't know what position you're going to find yourself in. That's the way to look at it. You never know what's round the corner. Thank you to Matt for ending the show on that note. I've decided it's ended. We've actually got a few more minutes left, but it's
just keep
over.
Talking.
It's over as far as I'm concerned. We've got some tweets as well. What else have we got?
We've got some tweets as well. I've heard you saying that for a long time.
I need full time.
Some tweets from somebody.
This is a fair point, because I was kind of hoping to get there at some point. Eddie says, Gordon, you ever thinking about bringing up financial fair play regulations that will stop any new Rangers owner from throwing money at the club? It isn't the days of Murray. They have to live within their means. It felt like a good time to bring that up because Matt, before he went rogue, mentioned David Murray. Let's hear from Kieran Maguire again, football finance expert, of course, because that is a big talking point. Let's hear what he had to say when we asked him about that one.
Their losses have been big by Scottish standards, but certainly not big by English standards. The squad cost control rules are the main issue for Rangers to have to deal with in terms of UEFA's rule book, and Rangers can spend a wee bit more. I think in their accounts they said that the playing budget was around about 50% of revenue. You can go as high as 70% under the UEFA rules. The most important thing for Rangers is improving themselves both on and off the pitch, where they do trail Celtic at present. And if they can win the Scottish Premiership, then the financial boost that would give them would be significant. But they've got a lot of catching up to do.
So, pretty good answer, because I think it's a really important point. The tweeter is right that the new owner can't come in and go, here are Rangers, here's 300 million quid, go and wipe the floor with everyone. But Kieran Maguire explaining it, at the moment, Rangers' football budget is, you know, about 50% of their revenue. You can go to 70. So if this new board, this new regime came in and Rangers earned and brought in the kind of same amount of money, they could spend a bit more than they're spending at the moment. I then think the wider hope would probably be that through whatever means, coming in and rejigging things at the club, they'll hope that the revenue goes up and then the spending can go up as well. So there are so many unknowns. It's not a bad question from the tweeter. I think it's a good one. But you just have to wait and see. So as it stands right now,
they
could come in and spend more.
Yeah.
But 20% more as things stand. But then if revenue went up, you could spend more again. Okay, let's round off. It's the 49ers, Matt, just to remind you. 40.
I liked his last one.
Can you name the six players to sign for Rangers more than once since 2000, excluding academy graduates? Kenny Miller, Kyle Lafferty, Chris Boyd, Steve Davis, Richard Foster.
Struggling. Give us a clue. Goalkeeper?
No. Still there. That's what makes it the easiest of the lot in terms of recency. And
he's still there?
Yeah. Went away and came back.
Don't tell us.
I'm not going to.
Keep that music playing.
I can't. You've got 15 seconds, I would say.
Still there. Go through the team.
I'm trying.
You'll let it be fast.
Quick.
Centre half. Balligan.
Balligan, QPR.
Well done. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel. Enjoyed that. It was quite lively. It was fast. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. So make sure you join us then and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.